I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, yesterday morning, I had one of those moments with God that I will just not soon forget. I sat in my little quiet time chair, and I looked at my pile of books on the table in front of me. I have three Bibles, three different translations, a couple of devotionals, a journal, and a commentary by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. And there's my new Bible app that I downloaded and my worship playlist on my phone. I just looked around at these resources and I was overwhelmed with gratitude. I literally almost started crying. I just couldn't believe it. I just thought, wow, I know I have brothers and sisters around the world, some who have no Bible to speak of. Maybe they've got a few words out of the book of Ephesians that someone copied for them. And here I've got multiple translations, commentaries, my journal, my music, all sitting in front of me. To whom much is given, much is required. I just felt just freshly responsible to steward all that God has entrusted to me. Just a reminder, we do have brothers and sisters around the world who don't even own a Bible. Maybe they share a Bible in their own community. Imagine that. Imagine if you had to share one Bible with people in your church community. How would that go? Wow. Well, Angela Parrott joins me today. She's someone who caught the vision early in her adult life, decided to make a difference in the world. She's the founder of an international ministry known as Love God Greatly. Her ministry is to women, but I want you to know this conversation today is for both men and women. You know this, God's word changes us, and God intends to change the world through us. So what might that call require of you? I mean, do you dare to dream with God about ways that He wants to shine His light through you to this dark and desperate world? Well, we'll get Angela on in just a moment. A quick announcement. You maybe know this already, but if you're new to the Faith Radio family, I want you to know it. We are a listener-supported ministry, and we couldn't do what we do without you. And so we just want to pause and say thank you to our faithful friends who pray, who support, who give so generously so that we can reach the world. And it's amazing the growth that is happening, not only in our terrestrial markets as a radio network, but on our podcasts on the digital plane all over the world. We've got listeners all over the world. It's just amazing. That could not happen without your generosity. So please continue to keep us in your prayers. And we pray for you. We thank God upon every remembrance of you. We bless God for you. And we pray regularly for your health, for your work, your family, and just the privilege of being able to partner with you to bring the gospel to the world. Well, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Angela Parrott's the founder and director of Love God Greatly. It's a nonprofit online Bible study ministry reaching thousands of women in more than 200 countries around the world. Imagine that. Started in 2014, Love God Greatly has published more than 37 studies in over 30 languages. Angela's passionate about God's word and believes one woman in God's word can change a family, community, and ultimately a nation. She has degrees from Baldwin Wallace University and Bowling Green State University. Her greatest joy is to encourage her children and others to love God greatly with their lives one day at a time. She and her husband live in Dallas, Texas with their three daughters. Angela, what a delight to meet you. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for the honor. I'm truly privileged.
Looking forward to this conversation. And friends, just to let you know, we've got one Love God Greatly Bible. You know, it's a weighty thing. You know, the Bible is such a weighty thing. And this is a beautiful Bible. We've got one to give away. If you want in the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. So, Angela, let's start here. I love to open the show talking scripture. And obviously, you're a woman who loves God's word. But how about just in your own time with the Lord? What's He been saying to you these days?
I think for me, just in the time that we are living right now, He's just really, one, He's just been encouraging me. He's been encouraging me through His word, through His promises. One thing I feel like that He just keeps, as I'm, going about my days and obviously, reading God's word, is just that promise that He's always with me and not to live my life in fear. There's so many things I feel like, especially with raising three girls in our culture and stuff. And, as a mom, that fear can kind of grip your heart as far as, the future and everything. And I just feel like lately He's just been really pressing upon my heart of do not fear. I'm with you, just encouraging me through His word and everything of just, not living in fear, but living in trust. and ultimately knowing that, one, he's with me, and two, he does have a plan. And so, yeah, that's just really lately what he's been encouraging me with.
That's wonderful. One of my memory verses lately, Psalm 16:8, I know God is with me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I mean, just to think about that and to speak that of your life, I know God is with me. In fact, he's at my right hand. And since that's true, I will not be shaken. Man, sometimes our ears need to hear our mouth say something like that, boy.
So true.
Yeah, I love God's word. I mean, it's just, we know this, but it's just worth saying that it's not like any other book. It's the living, breathing word of God. I mean, what has that come to mean to you over the years as you've been a woman in God's word?
Well, I think just, you know, as I've gotten older, just seeing the truth of that, you know, of just, I think the importance of just being in God's word and reading God's word, and then especially with Love God Greatly, how we interact with it, with the SOAP method, you know, when you really just spend time in God's word and really just slow down and just kind of quiet, you know, your heart and your mind and just really dig into God's word and read it for yourself. You know, he does, he speaks to us, and verses that maybe I had read a few years before, you know, they have a new meaning to me and stuff. And so that's one thing that, that I've just really seen as God's been developing, you know, my relationship with him and deepening my faith, of just really the importance of being in his word, and that he truly does speak to us directly through his word, and that no matter how many times you've read God's word, there's always something new that he's saying to us.
Yeah, so good. You mentioned the SOAP method. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Sure. So the SOAP method is just the way that, I love God Greatly, we interact with scripture. So I think it's great to open up God's word and read it for yourself. But what we do is we actually have a Bible reading plan in the Bible that we're going to be talking about today. We have actually, you know, reading plans for all 66 books of the Bible. And it's just ways that we help guide and equip women with scripture to have a plan. Instead of just, you know, opening it and just, you know, reading it, they actually have a plan of reading these books of the Bible, but then also slowing down, writing out different verses in that book, writing out observations, learning to actually observe, you know, what's going on in the scripture, and then applying scripture back to their life. And then obviously then the P stands for pray. So basically SOAP stands for scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And that is just a super simple way to interact with God's word, but yet very effective. And of course, with our translations and everything, it's a great way for women in other nations and countries and languages to interact with scripture also.
Beautiful. So give us a little backstory. Bring us back a little bit to, you know, when you, as a young mom, I mean, how did God not only give you a heart for the nations, but how was the ministry first born in your heart?
Well, I love this story. Just the fact that I feel like so many times in our lives, God is planting seeds way far advanced, you know, even as we're, you know, when we're children and stuff. And so for me, I was raised in the Air Force. And so God already put me kind of, you know, in a situation where I had lots of friends from other countries. And so just through the years, he just really developed this love for the world and for the nations and for, you know, just friends from other countries and everything. And then when I was in high school, I ended up going on my first mission trip to the Ukraine, and just fell in love with that. And just in my own life, I've always had friends from, you know, other nations and countries. I've just been very sensitive and tender to that. And so he just kind of put that desire on my heart. And then once, you know, I got married and then started having kids, and my two older girls are 16 months apart. And so for a period of time, they were always getting sick. I just seemed like I couldn't keep both of them well at the same time. And so what happened was, it was hard for me to go to church and drop them off to, you know, Sunday school or daycare or whatever at church. And so I ended up just, you know, having a season of time where I just wasn't able to do those things as often as I'd like. And so like God always does, whenever there's a need, he always, you know, is so amazing and bursts something, you know, incredible out of it. And so for me, it was just that desire of, okay, like, you know, as a young mom, you know I need to be in God's word. I know I need his truth. And I also know I need community. How can I help, you know, how can I fill this need? And so really for me, you know, just creating local friends, local other young moms, you know, in similar situations of just needing God's word and needing community. And then from there, you know, starting to write Bible studies and share them. And then, I mean, honestly, the work that God's done through Love God Greatly, it truly is amazing. Our first translation, it was a missionary in Venezuela, who speaks Spanish, and she contacted me and just said, you know, I am loving, you know, your studies. Is it okay if I translate them into Spanish? My husband and I are missionaries in Venezuela, and I print them off, and by boat, my husband and I travel into the jungles of Venezuela, and we are actually doing women's and men's Bible studies and teaching them God's word. Do you mind if I translate them and use your studies? And of course I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm honored. You're like, yes, you can have anything that, you know, that's created and translated. And I said, the only thing, you know, if you could you give them back the translation? Could you give it back to me? Because I would love to continue to bless more women with these studies in Spanish. And then now, you know, all these years later, we're actually blessing women in 33 different languages. But it started because of one amazing woman in Venezuela, you know, wanting to bless her women with God's word and not having resources in her language to bless them with.
You're so sweet, and you basically established this international ministry in like 4 minutes flat. And I know there's so much to that, but I think it's so precious. So you go back to as a young mom with little ones who are still sick, or you know, my little guys, they weren't as close as yours. Oh my word! I mean, you've got an infant basically, and you're pregnant again. But I remember two of my three sons had just incredible respiratory issues. So that I know that's so trying. So at that point, you decided, I'm going to connect with a few women in my community. And what did you guys do? Just study the word together? I mean, what did that look like?
Well, I know, it's so funny. So I'm a teacher at heart. I had been a fifth grade teacher. And so, you know, we were, you know, at first just getting together. We had kind of like our, you know, when nobody was sick, we had like a little Friday, you know, play dates or whatever. And as we started to get together, you know, it was great to have friends, but I don't know, God was just putting on my heart to have a little bit more than just beyond just, you know, the friendship and having some kind of like devotional or study or something. And so I started just even within that group, having some kind of like little lesson or something that we're going to talk about. And so really just, you know, just from that, from, you know, my own friends, you know, that's what started. And then from there, I was like, you know, what else can I do? And one of the reasons why I think my kids were always sick is my husband's actually an ER doctor here in the Dallas area. And I think, you know, it was just when they were so young, always bringing stuff home to us. Mm. And, but also because of his shift work, he worked nights and days and weekends and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so again, that can be really lonely, you know, especially at that stage with your kids. I had a choice. I said, okay, either I can make my evenings when I'm alone and the kids are in bed, I can either make them productive and give that time to the Lord, or I can do something else with it. And so I just chose to, you know, be productive because for me and my home and my family, I had to be very flexible. I'm kind of like the stable one as far as, you know, the days and how they run and, you know, and everything. And so it was hard for me to serve traditionally like in our church and stuff, just because when my husband is off work, I try to, you know, obviously, you know, be off with him and spend time with him. And so online ministry for me is a huge, huge blessing because I can serve God, you know, at the time that's best for me and for my family. And it just, like I said, it's just a huge, huge blessing. And so that's really where the decision came is, okay, I have this time. How can I best serve the Lord just in my home with these young, children?
Man. I'm going to pause here. You know, I had Carter Conlon on. I've had him on a number of times, but he said, we have to change and have a paradigm shift. The church is going to look different and it needs to, but so much ministry is going to happen online. And I just love that God was preparing you for that years ago and that you responded to it. I mean, we do have to think out of the box to reach the masses and to mobilize the saints. And you've done that. It's so beautiful. I'm talking to Angela Parrott. She's the founder of the ministry, international ministry, Love God Greatly. We'll talk more about just the name, how you came up with it, what it means. Some of the stories I would love to hear of just people, women who've been changed by this. We've got one copy of this Love God Greatly Bible. So cool. Inside, you've got stories from women all over the world that just in their own words. And then you got a little map about where they live and just a prayer to pray for the people in that nation. It's just precious. And a bunch of devotionals, different word art. It's a gorgeous Bible. Love God greatly. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. More with Angela Parrott in just a moment. You're listening to Suzy Larson Live, and I'm talking to Angela Parrott. She's the founder and director of an international online nonprofit ministry, Love God Greatly. We've got one copy of this beautiful Love God Greatly Bible. It's such an inspiration. I'm praying the right person gets it, and you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. How did you come up with the name Love God Greatly, Angie? Angela, sorry.
My friend Angie. Yes, I love it. Please. Actually, you know, there's a couple of different names. So really, I was just kind of talking about it with my mom one day, and I actually can't take credit for it. It really, you know, she and I were talking, and she's like, you know, what about, you know, like, love God greatly, serve him mightily. And I was like, I love that because, especially the first, I mean, obviously the whole thing, but just love God greatly, like that truly is our heart. Like everything that we do at Love God Greatly, it comes back to that. And I love having that in our name because, you know, when we talk about, we share about it, it always brings us back to our mission and our purpose. We want to encourage women, you know, and of course, children and, you know, men and everything too, but we want to encourage women and people to love God greatly with their lives and our resources and the way that we fight biblical literacy around the world. I mean, that's our heart. That's our purpose and everything. The Bible that we created, that was our mission with that. The Bible studies that we create, we all want to just help women love God greatly with their lives.
When you stand where you're standing, where you're standing now, did you have any sense it would blossom to this level? I mean, or did you have this kind of vision, or were you just sort of following the breadcrumbs and seeing where Jesus would lead you?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say I, you know, I had that vision, but I didn't. Honestly, everything that, you know, that God has done, I mean, I had to give him full glory. This is him. This is just, and I think when you look at our story, what you see is God is passionate about his word, and he's passionate about his daughters. And So I think that's why he is just, you know, blessed Love God Greatly. And he's given us, honestly, if you, you know, ever have the chance to, you know, just meet some of our women, we do intensives every other year where we bring these leaders, these translators that we have around the world to my home here in Dallas, Texas, and do like leadership training. But, you know, when my friends and other people, you know, have come and met these women, I mean, he gives us the sweetest and the kindest women. And again, it's just God's blessing. It's his goodness. It's his care, and it just shows how important women are to him and how important it is for us to be in his word, for us to be in his word on our own, by ourselves, with the Holy Spirit, learning, you know, what he says and learning his truths and stuff.
Boy. Have you noticed some surprising similarities between us women, no matter our nationality?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Absolutely. A few years ago, because, you know, Love God Greatly is a nonprofit. Everything we do when we create comes into, you know, our ministry. And so I was really wanting to do like this leadership training intensive. And so I had co-authored a book with one of my dear friends, Sally Clarkson, and the proceeds from that book went to fund our first intensive. And when I was asking our women, our translators, I'm like, what is a message? What is something that you think, you know, your women are needing? And no matter if it was women in Africa or Europe or Asia, they all said, our women need to know first that God loves them. And so that truly was the very first book that, you know, I wrote with Sally was You Are Loved. And it's just basically us going, sharing stories of, you know, how God, you know, in our lives, but also pointing women to scripture and saying, you are loved. And that's really even just what we say to all of our women, even through, you know, our translations and stuff. You know, we can tell women, hey, God sees you and he knows you and he loves you. But then when I can follow that up with scripture and I can follow that up with a study that is in their personal language, it becomes more real because then it validates them and they're like, oh my goodness, you're right. The study isn't in English. The study's in Hungarian or the study's in Polish or the study's in Swahili. God sees me because he speaks my language or he, you know, writes my language. And so that, again, is just a way that we, you know, love women and we show them, we tell them that God knows them, sees them and loves them, but then we show them that God, you know, sees them, knows them and loves them.
Wow, that's a beautiful testimony. How about differences? Have you noticed differences between women from different parts of the world? Where like over here, they tend to struggle with this, or over here, they tend to lose perspective this way. Anything that stood out to you?
I mean, there are, you know, a few things. I think more just with working with women from, you know, from all over, which is just a huge privilege, is I think really is our similarities, you know, and our struggles in our identity, our struggles in, you know, just even just our fears, you know, raising our kids or, you know, the fear of the future. But obviously, yes, depending on, you know, what area. We're doing it right now. We're doing a study called Shame Breaker. And there's some countries that shame is just, oh, you know, just that's just part of their culture, right? And so our heart for that was not only just breaking off shame here in our women in the United States, but especially in some of these nations where they are just so shame driven, helping women understand that God breaks that off. Like, you don't have to carry that. And then again, just pointing it back to scripture. I mean, honestly, like, I'm a very simple woman. Like, I just need simple studies, you know? And so we do, we just, you know, have these, you know, books of the Bible or these topical studies, and we talk about these topics, and then we just point them back to scripture and just say, listen, this isn't Angela's words. This is what God says, you know, about this. So.
What kind of testimonies have you heard from women from around the world?
Oh, it's just, honestly, it's just been just an honor, just a blessing and an honor. You know, it's just been amazing, you know, one, just to be able to play, you know, the small part in this ministry of just getting these studies to women. You know, just some of the testimonies of, you know, like a few years ago, I was in Hungary and I was speaking at a women's conference there, and I'd printed off, you know, some of our Hungarian journals. And after the conference, you know, I was, you know, kind of standing at a booth and everything, and there were some women that come up and were talking to me and standing in line. And as I was talking to them, I just started handing them some of our studies. And I'll never forget it. They started to, you know, tears started welling up in their eyes and started to cry. And I was like, oh, you know, like, oh my goodness, like, you know, like, what, you know, what's new to you? Why are you, you know, why are you crying or anything? And they were just like, you know, kind of like what I said earlier. They're like, you know, you told us that God sees us, He knows us, He loves us. But having this study in our hands, and they said, you know, it's in our language, it's in Hungarian, and they're like, and it's as beautiful as the English resources. And that, again, goes back to our heart. It's, we want our studies, like we were talking about, like our book. We wanted our book or our Bible to be beautiful to look at also, not only just beautiful with our words, but just we were real intentional with just our, you know, scripture memory and just how it was designed and the maps and everything. We wanted it to be beautiful to look at because that also speaks to their value, right? If we can have the same translations, if our English translations can be the same as our Hungarian and our, you know, all of our other languages, that speaks to their value and stuff too. And so, you know, I'll never forget that. And then also just even, you know, all of our studies, all of our translations can be downloaded for free and distributed, you know, in whatever countries, you know, they need. And I remember one time hearing about a woman, I believe it was in Colombia, and during her lunch break, she had printed off our studies, and she was actually teaching our studies to her friends during, you know, their lunch break, to women who couldn't read our studies, but she could. And so they would go through our studies and they would discuss it, and then they would, you know, work on memorizing the verses, and then those women would go back to their homes and tell their families and their kids and their husbands what they had been learning at work during their lunch break. I mean, that's the amazing thing. Wow. You know, just with how God works in women's lives is, you know, when we are blessed with knowledge, you know, we don't really keep it to ourselves. We pass it on. We give it to our children. We give it to our friends. And that's, you know, our whole thing. Also, our prayer with just if we can change one woman's life, we know that God will use her to change her family, her community. And our prayer is that nations will be changed to the Lord.
You are an absolute treasure, and I hope you will come back again. Angela, what an honor to meet you. Thank you for responding to God's call, and God is using you to change the world. Please come back again. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back in just a moment.
'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears?
Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that every once in a while we like to do a show that we call an Overcomer Show. And it's where you get to hear true stories of everyday overcomers. You know, people who wrestle their faith out behind the scenes to overcome their trials and their battles and even the lies the enemy sends their way. Where these are people who are just contending for the faith so that they can step into the truth of who God says they are, that they want to live out the purposes of God, regardless of the obstacles that are in their way and some of the trials that they've walked through. Well, Candace Gates is one such guest today, and she grew up feeling pretty insecure and unsure of her identity and her value in Christ. And after her parents divorced, her mom came to know Christ as well as Candace did. And even though she did know Jesus, she still felt really unsure about her sense of identity and calling, and she found herself to just really be a people pleaser. She felt like her life was lived with Christ, one foot in and one foot out. And then she married her husband, Mike, and here we are at that point of the story. So Candace, at this point, you loved God. You really did want to be all the way in, but you still felt easily swayed by the crowd and the opinions of others. So take us to that point when Jesus became Lord of your life. And if that's even a little bit later in the story, maybe talk about what those early years were like in marriage.
I wanted to be all in 100%. You know, we went to church. We were very active in our church. I led worship. I taught Sunday school. And through all of this, you know, we had our children. We were busy. Mike always felt, he'd make mention to me that he felt a little insecure because I was farther along in my walk than he was, which was just a lie from the enemy. We look back on it now and regardless caused some fighting. And, you know, I wanted him to step up to that place, you know, where he's head of the house and he's the man of God that God wanted him to be. And sometimes I guess I felt like I was being held back. And maybe it was more in my heart than it was in his at the time. But we would get over something and then we would fight about it again at a later date. And we just really literally went around the same mountain over and over and over. And not to say that we didn't grow in those times, because the Lord always showed us something. One thing that we really had a problem with was communication. And when I asked Mike about this as I was preparing to talk with you, he said that he realizes that that's one thing the Lord has really helped us with. Because Mike, rather than fight, and all I wanted to do was talk, and he didn't want to talk. And so he would flee the situation and he would just leave. And I sometimes would follow him as he walked out the door and said, "Don't leave." And he'd just throw his hands up and just like he couldn't take anymore. And so it was a continuous thing like that. Well, like I said, we made progress, but there was one time. And there were a lot of things that happened in our marriage. I won't go into all the details. But one time, I was the one. I felt like the Lord, I mean, I did consult the Lord. I prayed about it, and I ran away. I left the scene. And, of course, this was after the kids were grown and everything, and this wasn't actually too long ago. Even though we live in Minnesota, we are blessed to have a house in Arizona as well. So I ran away and went there. And before I left, I had seen online that there was a women's conference and Susie Larson was going to be speaking. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be great if I could go there and listen to that? That would be just what I need right now. And so I went to Arizona, and before I attended the conference, though, I had to survive a night all alone in the house, which I had never done before. And I was had a heart full of sadness and borderline fear. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I was feeling pretty good about being away. After all, I was in sunny Arizona, and I could eat where I wanted and do what I wanted. But things were pretty good, and I even managed to fall asleep without too much trouble. But then I woke up about 2:30 in the morning, and things didn't feel so good anymore. And I had this overwhelming sense of heaviness and fear. And I just thought, what was I thinking? I didn't want to be there without Mike. And to top things off, the smoke alarm started to chirp. And I knew I had to tend to it because it wasn't going to stop on its own. And I just have to say, too, that during this time, I kept hearing this song over and over, and it became like my my anthem. I would turn on the radio and I would hear it. I'd go in my car and it would be on in the car. You're probably familiar with it. It's Thy Will by Hilary Scott. Yeah. But I just have to read just a few of the words because it said, I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear. So I followed through and somehow I ended up here. I don't want to think. I may never understand that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I've got is hurt and these four words, Thy will be done. So as I'm just feeling so alone in that moment at 2:30 in the morning, right then and there, I just cried out to God. I spoke out loud and I told him that I was scared and I didn't want to be alone. And I said the verse from Joshua, and I said, I am strong and vigorous and very courageous. I'm not afraid or dismayed because, Lord, I know that you are with me. And something happened to me right then. And I felt this peace of God come over me like I'd never, ever felt before. And I really believe the Lord brought John 14:27 to my mind, too. And I found myself saying that out loud. I knew I was going to be okay. And I just said, peace, you're leaving it with me. Your peace you give to me. Not as the world gives do you give to me. And I said, my heart is not troubled and it's not afraid. And at that moment, I knew I wasn't alone, but God was with me. And I snuggled back in bed and I went to sleep. It was just like Jesus tucked me in. And the next day I felt pretty good as I drove to the conference. And it was just what I needed. There was laughter and learning and stories and music. And I just loved it. And as I walked up to that conference, and I had never been to something like this by myself. I had no idea where I was going. Thankfully, I had a GPS. But I know now God led me there. But there was this young girl that met me as I started to walk up. And she handed me this little piece of paper, and I have it in my hands right now. And it has double pink hearts on it. And I opened it up, and someone had handwritten this. It said, sweet child of God, in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Love, Jesus Christ. So that was how I first walked in there. And not long after I was in there, and I don't recall if it was you that made the announcement or if it was Kevin or someone else on your team, but it came across the loudspeaker that you were letting people know that a lot of your books that you had shipped there didn't arrive and that you didn't know, you know, what happened to them, but you did manage to have some books with you, so your table wasn't as full as normal, but please, you were still wanting prayer, hoping that they would get there. So I heard the announcement, and I walked over, and you and Kevin were standing there, and there was this book on your book table. Didn't matter if the others arrived or not, but God knew the one I needed. And I felt like even looking at the title, that it was just for me. And the title was Alone in Marriage. And I'll tell you, I bought that book. And I went back to the house and I engulfed myself in that book. And I can't say enough of how much it's ministered to me. Mm-hmm. And I keep going back to it over and over again.
Oh, Candace, I got to jump in here.
Praise God.
Hold on one sec. We got a break here. When we come back, we'll hear more of the story. That's overwhelming to me, what you just said. I marvel. Wow. More with Candace Gates in a moment.
We are made in the image of, made in the image of God. Beautiful shades of love.
Boy, if we could remember that, we're made in the image of God, we're fearfully, wonderfully made. We are his masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the wonderful things he planned for us long ago. If we could remind our souls of that truth every day, I think it would solve 1,000 lesser problems. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Every once in a while, we do a show that we call Overcomers, and it's just true stories from everyday overcomers, people behind the scenes wrestling out this faith journey. Talking today to Candace Gates, and she's a woman who came into her marriage, as so many of us, I sure did, came in kind of still insecure, loving God, but not really knowing who you are, married her husband, Mike, and they had children together, but through the years, kind of had some of the same fights back and forth, and that kind of culminated because he was more the one to avoid conflict and she'd be the one to run after him, where one day she'd had enough and she just decided to leave temporarily for a break to go to a conference in another state. It happened to be a conference that I was speaking at, and she had a time in the hotel room where she suddenly thought, what have I done? And had a lot of fear, and the Lord led her to a place of peace in his word. She went to the conference, and God really met her there, which brings us to this point of the story. Candace, you told me before when we've connected that Alone in Marriage, my book, Alone in Marriage, had ministered to you, but I had no idea the way and the timing of which God used that. I'm stunned. Wow, I don't even know what to say.
I was too. That's when you know that it's of God. And like I said, I still reference the book. I've helped other people through things I've learned in the book. You know, praise God. I just give all the glory to God. He works things out in miraculous ways that we just don't even understand. And Mike and I have worked out our differences, and that was the one thing. We always, you know, we would say things like, I just don't want to do this anymore. And then when we would give it to the Lord, he would help us to walk through the difficulties. You know, during that time, my identity didn't change, no matter how I felt. And even though I might have been hindered as a wife, I was still a child of God.
Amen.
And, you know, that's what he's been teaching me so much. That's what I want to just have other people hear, because I didn't know that. And all through the Bible, it says that we have to be in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ. And there's forgiveness and freedom for those who are in Christ. And people can go through things without Christ. But when you know him, you get these special blessings, you know, just like when I was with my dad, when I knew him, you know, I got special treatment, but our Heavenly Father is with us all the time. So when you experience a victory through Christ, it's an awesome feeling. And when I was like 2,000 miles away from my husband, and I was all alone in the middle of the night, I was relying on God alone. And I was feeling alone and rejected and betrayed. I learned that the Spirit of God really does live on the inside of me. And I knew I was going to be okay, no matter what. I am an overcomer.
Amen, sister. What can you say what Mike was feeling when you had gone to the conference? What was happening back at home for him?
Well, bless his heart, you know, he was devastated. I had never done anything like that before. I had never just left. He left, but I hadn't. I was always the one that stayed home and waited, you know. So he was very sad, and he tried to talk to me. I didn't want to talk to him prior to the conference. He even sent flowers, you know, and he always said, I just want to do it God's way. He would feel so bad, you know. I feel sorry for a lot of men who want to do things the right way. You know, us women, we have these conferences. We have things, you know, that are more geared towards women. And I feel bad for some of the Christian men who want to do better in life, and they really don't have the camaraderie like we do.
You know, Kevin, I've talked a lot about this over the years, that as women, we sometimes get a caricature in our minds of what a godly husband might look like. And we paint that picture, and our husband absolutely cannot fit that mold, you know? It's like, let's say you got a big trucker husband who's got sausage fingers, and you want him to be Stephen Curtis Chapman with a guitar around the bonfire. It ain't going to happen. And it's so unfair to go, this is the picture of what a spiritual leader should look like, when truly the power that we have in the honor that we give, we cannot even fathom. To say, the man that I'm married to, God, I want to just call forth out of him the best of who you've made him to be. And we start by affirming the little sprouts, the little things, the little efforts. Right. I think when we start to love the life we have, that when you know, that's when you start to fertilize the grass under your feet. That's when you see it come to life. And I'd love to know, when did you experience a turning point in the marriage where you thought, the sun is kind of shining again? I'm feeling a little hope here.
It's funny because there was a story you told. And I forgive me because I don't remember all the exact details, but when you had been praying and the Lord put it on your heart that you needed to go tell Kevin that you were sorry, and you knelt at his feet. And I had the same feeling as I was reading your story. I thought, I'm not going in there and telling Mike that I am sorry for some of the things that I have done. But truthfully, it was then that I had to humble myself and realize it wasn't all just Mike. You know, there were also similarities in your story about Kevin being, working so much.
Workaholic.
And just, and that was definitely Mike. God showed me things in that too, that Mike just wanted to provide for us. He was working so hard so that he could make a good life for the kids and for us. And I knew his motives were right, but I took it so personally. Mm-hmm. And had I grasped my identity in Christ at that time, I would have been able to set him free more, you know, to allow him to do those things. And that's one of the things I admire so much about him, is his work ethic and how he cares so much, you know, for other people too. So, but I just, you know, at the root of all of it, I just have this stirring in my soul that we children of God just need to quit living defeated and broken lives. Yeah. I see so many marriages that I just want, they're breaking up, and I just want to say, no, you know, don't give up yet. And I pray for so many people who have given up. If some of them don't know the Lord as their Savior, and I know that is our biggest thing is when we have his help. But I realize, you know, as Christ's children, we are chosen. He chose us. I guess that's just such a big turning point for me. I mean, I guess I went through the motions, but wow, like, we are holy and blameless in his sight. I mean, I'm just blown away by that.
And, I love and just your... Like, go ahead. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That I'm sorry, too. But, you know, this is what I guess, to answer your question too more fully, is just like I realized Mike Gates chose me to be his wife by his own free will. And that blows me away sometimes, too. And that I chose him. But I do choose him every single day. And it's a good feeling when someone chooses us, right?
Oh my.
Like think back, like in high school, you know, and or even grade school, you know, and you'd number off and you're just hoping somebody would choose you. But God chose each one of us. And he has a unique destiny for each of us. And maybe we don't know what that is yet, and some of us have things in our past that we need to deal with and let go. But if we humble ourselves, confess our sins and put our trust in Him, He can help us deal with it. And if we place our value only in what our spouses think of us, or our children, or our bosses, coaches, relatives, then we might feel devalued. But God is crazy about us. He spilled His blood to restore us. And in life, we're always trying to get people's approval. I did that for so long, but I've learned that we can be happy without people's approval.
Come on. Amen. I love it. Well, preach it, girl.
Yeah, we'll never feel completely valued until we know that Jesus does. And we are not what others think of us.
Amen.
We're not.
I want someone to hear that. Yes, you can be happy even when other people don't approve of you. And one of the things I just love is just the central core of your message is going deeper, deeper into the reality of our identity in Christ. I love that because even as you're saying, and I feel the same way, if I could go back, I would have known on a deeper level who I was. My hubby was working way too much, way out of balance. And what was driving him, you know, he's a good man. And he wanted to provide for us too, but there was fear and self-sufficiency and all that in it too. But you're right. You take it so personal. And I think so many battles would be at least put in a proper perspective if we had a strong sense of who we are. And, you know, studies have shown time and time again, with the exception of abuse, of course, but that your best case scenario for a super healthy, happy marriage is the one that you're in. That, you know, you can literally come to those broken places like you felt, Candace, I felt, where I looked at Kev and had zero, I had negative feelings. I had no positive feelings left because there was too many stretches of these long, long times of just disconnection. Mm-hmm. But you can come to that place and God can resurrect your marriage from the dead. And it's like the answer isn't keep searching till you find the right person. It's really being who Christ made you to be and watching God resurrect a dead marriage. And so I just love the tenderness of your heart. I love the passion for Jesus and how clearly you communicate His passion for us. Someone needed to hear this today, Candace. Thank you for giving us your time.
Oh, amen. I am just so glad that I could be here.
I wonder, as we get ready to wrap, if you would pray for that person listening today who's right now in a marriage that's just on the brink of death, on the brink of, you know, hanging on by a thread. Would you pray for them?
Amen. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray whoever might be listening today, and if they are in a hard time in their marriage, Lord, first of all, I pray that they know that they are loved, that they matter, that their life matters. And no matter how bad something might look right now, Lord, I look back, I give you the glory, but I am so thankful that we didn't give up. And I just, like Susie said, people think that if they just have a different partner, that then things will be better. But Lord, thank you that I was able to fall in love with my husband all over again. And that's what I pray for these people who have trouble in their marriage. Lord, help them to see each other through your eyes. And just, we just give you glory today, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you, Father, that greater are you that is in us than he that's in the world. And Lord, that's what I pray first and foremost, is that if these people don't know you, that they would cry out to you, God, and just so that they can start walking in their daily life and in their marriages with you. And we praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Candace, thank you. It took a lot of courage for you to step up and tell your story. I sure appreciate it. God bless you, dear girl.
Oh, thank you so much, Susie. Thank you for,
God is
for
good.
Your ministry and your books. Keep writing.
Well, thanks for overcoming. And just, you know, because Candace mentioned Alone in Marriage, I think I'm going to throw 3 copies out there. As you've listened today, if you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll put you in the drawing. 3 of you get a copy of Alone in Marriage. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.